sometimes you have to make some efforts to put some flesh and blood on the biblical characters, on the people that we read about in the Holy Scriptures. We have to put some flesh and blood on them because it can be very easy to elevate them really high and make them unreal, inaccessible to us. But in the Old Testament, and especially in the book of Genesis, we have a whole lot of interesting characters, a whole lot of interesting people who lived real, hard, difficult lives. And among those interesting characters, we find Abram and Sarah, his wife. These were two people whom God had called to live a life of faith, to live a life following the promises that he would lay out for them, and to become the father and the mother of a new nation, and indeed of nations, that the whole world would be blessed through them. Prior to our reading today from Genesis chapter 15, if you go back to Genesis chapter 12, you'll find that they were ordered to leave Ur of the Chaldees and head on out. And so Abram took his family and left and went westward, as he was told to do. And he was made a promise by God: I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth, all the nations of the earth, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. That's a great big promise, isn't it? For a couple who don't have any kids, and God promises, I'm going to make you a great nation, great nations actually, and I will bless the whole world through you, and those who bless you I will bless, and those who curse you I will curse. And in you, all the peoples of the world — this just blows me away — all the peoples of the world will be blessed. That's a promise. If I had that promise behind me, whew, I'd be cooking with gas. Wow. Well, time went on, and God seems to have a problem understanding human biology, because as you get old, things happen, the body starts to fall apart. Women, you hit menopause, and suddenly there's no chance for a baby. And that's exactly what's happened with Sarah, and that's exactly what's happening with Abram. And he is saying, oh no, I'm getting old, and my successor is going to be Eliezer of Damascus. Oh God, what are you going to do about it? Literally, oh Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Now, what's amazing in this, quite frankly, whine, is that God had already given him a bunch of promises, and now God has just given him an amazing promise. Do not be afraid, Abram. Do not be afraid. I am your shield. Wow, if God is my shield, I don't have anything to be afraid of. If God is your shield, do you have anything to be afraid of? No. If God is your shield, who can harm you? Now, sure, you might stub your toe, you might do stupid things behind your shield, but my friends, if God is your shield, if God is your protector, if God is your deflector shields, there are no photon torpedoes that are going to get to you. None. None of Satan's photon torpedoes are going to get to you. You may think they are. Life may be really hard. I have a friend who is having to go in this week for an interview with the IRS because she has been audited. I don't know why. She doesn't have anything to be audited about, but she's being audited. And she is terrified. And I reminded her, she says, I'm going to die when I go in for this meeting. And I says, no, you won't. They're not going to shoot you. As much as some of them would probably like to, they're not going to shoot you when you go in for your audit. You will walk out poorer, yes, but you will walk out alive. Because remember, the Lord your God, Yahweh, the creator of the entire universe, is your shield. Now, she's a Trekkie, so I said, is your deflector shield. Deflectors on double front and go full speed ahead. Amen?
Amen?
This promise has just been made. And it doesn't stand alone. It stands in continuity with all the other promises that Abram has already received. Great nation, a blessing to the world. Those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. Wow, what a blessing. What a promise. Now, I am your shield. But not only that, your reward shall be very great. Your blessing will be very great. Your grace will be very great. That which you will receive from me, your reward for your life and your witness and for doing what I have told you to do, will be very great. So, don't be afraid. And Abram's afraid. Well, who's going to be my successor but the servant of mine, Eliezer of Damascus? Whine, 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 whine. And before we get too hard on Abram, we do it too. We have more promises and more blessings and more assurance than Abram had. Because we know the name of the shield. His name is Jesus. We know the name of the shield. We know the presence of the shield. We experience the presence of the shield because we have Jesus. We know Jesus. We receive Jesus. We read about Jesus. Abram, coming before Jesus, only had these visionary experiences, hearing the voice of Yahweh speaking to him, not knowing all that we know. Not even having the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. That's still to come, friends. And yet, he's been given promises. We have been given more. That's my first point. Abram had promises. He whined and complained. We have even more promises. We have the God, the creator of the universe, and Jesus Christ our Lord as our shield. And yet we still whine and complain and wonder where our help will come from and wonder how we're going to make it through the next week and wonder how we're going to make it through that meeting with the Board of Ordained Ministry and wondering if the bishop is going to call or the district superintendent, rather, is going to call and say where you're going to go become pastor. Right, Jane? Remember that. It gets worse. Imagine going through this for 20, you will go through this for 20 years. Yes, something to look forward to. Waiting and waiting and waiting to find out if you're going to get moved, where you're going to move to, is it a place you want to go, is it a place that God's going to be able to use you. You're called to have faith in the bishop and the cabinet. And it ain't easy, friends. Because sometimes they make mistakes. Ooh, but guess what? God doesn't make mistakes. And God can take their mistakes and transform them into God's will. That's what you have to look for. That's what you have to wait for. In those difficult times when things seem to be going awry, when things don't seem to be going the way you believe they ought to go, you need to become patient and willing and open to the act, to the action, and to the will of God. And that takes patience, and that takes faith. That's what we have here. "You have given me no offspring," Abram whined. "And so a slave born in my house is to be my heir." But the word of the Lord came to him. Now, I think that's interesting. The word of the Lord came to him. The word of Yahweh. The proclamation of Yahweh. Guess who else is the word of the Lord? Jesus Christ is the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
The word of the Lord came to Abram. "This man shall not be your heir." Poor Eliezer. "This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue." By the way, that means kids. "No one but your very own issue shall be your heir." He brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Well, that's a lot of stars, friends. In our galaxy alone, over 100 billion, according to Carl Sagan, over 100 billion stars. That's a lot of kids. Abram's old, Sarah's old. We find out later, they laughed. Both of them laughed at the idea. And yet God accomplished a miracle. You know the story. After having tried to get God's will done their own way and producing Ishmael by mistake, they then trusted in God and Isaac was born. The child of promise, literally. God has a way of getting God's will done in ways that we would never have imagined. That's the most amazing thing about God. God's ways are not our ways. If we were about inventing a God and inventing a religion, we wouldn't have invented this one. That's how we know it's true. We wouldn't have said that our God would grow up as a young carpenter in Israel, a poor, oppressed Jew. We would have chosen some son of a Roman emperor. If we had to go about choosing who God would be in flesh. Now, we're not making this stuff up. We're not inventing this stuff. It's been given to us. And the hard part is we're called to have faith. Now, every year I preach about faith. At least once. I use the chair illustration. This looks like a really good, solid chair. It's made of metal and nice, cushy parts for your back and your posterior. I've sat in a whole bunch like it. I may even have sat in this one. It looks like a nice, sturdy, solid chair. You know, I believe this chair will support me, that I'll be able to sit in it and it won't collapse underneath me. I believe this chair will support my weight, even though I'm a hefty guy. I really believe that chair, I really and truly believe that chair will support my weight. But instead, I think I'm going to go down there and sit in Tyler's lap. You ready? There's a difference between faith and foolhardiness. And you just went the foolhardy direction. Is that faith? No. My belief in the chair is one thing. But until I take that belief and put it into action, until I take that belief and actually put my body behind it, until I take my belief and put my will behind it, until I take my belief and do something with it, it's meaningless. And it certainly isn't faith. Believing the chair will hold me is good. But until I do something with that belief, it doesn't help me at all. I'm still standing here. Or I'm sitting down someplace else and crushing somebody else's knees. No, faith is taking the belief that the chair will hold me and taking that belief and putting it into action by sitting down in the chair. I've taken the belief and I've acted upon it. And that's what faith is all about. It's as simple as that. It's not about believing a whole bunch of precepts and doctrines. It's about placing your life in motion behind what you believe and in whom you believe. It's about living your life in accordance with your beliefs, following the one whom you believe. Sitting in the chair is actualizing faith that the chair will hold me. This is even more faith. If my knee weren't hurting me, I could get up in it and jump up and down. That would be even greater faith. It'd also be stupid. But it would be faith, because it would be placing my body in action and acting on my belief. Oh, Greg, you're sitting still. How can you be active? I'm sitting still because I believe the chair will hold me. And it does. That's what faith is. Now, you may say, oh, that's nice, Greg, and that is an illustration of the Greek word pistuo. It's a verb in Greek, but this is from the Old Testament. Yes, it is. The Old Testament was not originally written in Hebrew. In Greek. The Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, not in Greek. However, about 200 years before Jesus, it was translated from Hebrew into Greek by 70 Jewish rabbis. This is a proverb or a story or a legend or a myth that it was just 70 rabbis who each executed the translation and they each did it exactly the same. However it actually happened, we don't know. But it's called the Septuagint because it's believed that 70 rabbis translated it about 200 years before Jesus. And if you go back to the book of Genesis and read it in the Greek translation by those rabbis, you see that when it comes down here and it says, and he, that's Abram, believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. They translated that from Hebrew into Greek using the Greek word pistuo, the same word that Paul would then use, quoting it later in the New Testament. All right? So what's the Hebrew word that they're translating here as pistuo? It's a very important Hebrew word. It's a Hebrew word that every one of you knows. It's a Hebrew word that every one of you has said today already more than once. Do you know what the word is? It's a special word. It's a word that we proclaim when we hear something that is said that we agree with, that we love, that we think is true, and we want to affirm our acceptance that what has been said is the truth. And when I say something and you go, you have just used the Hebrew, ultimate Hebrew word for faith. Huh? Yep. The ultimate Hebrew word for faith is amen. It means more than so be it, although that is what it means. It means so be it because I will hang myself on it. So be it because I'm going to live my life accordingly. I accept this as true, and I'm going to act upon it as if it's true. I believe that this is the case, and I am going to act upon it as such. When I sat in that chair, I was acting upon the belief that I had that it would hold me. I was, in effect, amening the chair. I was acting in faith, amening the chair. When we say amen at the end of a prayer, when you say amen, when I say something that just resonates with your soul, when we say amen, we are saying more than that's the end of the prayer or the end. That's not what it means at all. We're saying, I accept this as true. I believe this is true, and I'm going to act upon it as it is true. Never really thought about it, did you? That when you say amen, it's more than just this interesting sound that we make at the end of a prayer. It says when we finish the prayer, I'm going to make it be this way. This is true. I accept it as true. I'm going to live by it as true. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, the prayer that the Master's taught us, we are saying, when we say amen at the end of that prayer, that we believe it's true, we're going to act upon it, and make it true in our lives. Faith in Hebrew, faith in Greek, are both active concepts, active ideas, ideas that demand, that require our action. And that's what we have here. We have Abram whining and complaining that he doesn't have an heir. And God answering the whine by saying, look at the sky. See those stars? Try to count them if you can, because you're going to have more kids than that. You're going to have more offspring, more heirs than even that. And it says that Abram amened Yahweh, pistuoed Yahweh, faved Yahweh, believed in action Yahweh, and Yahweh reckoned, considered, counted it up, calculated it to him as righteousness. Wow. Not anything that he did. I mean, they don't even have the kids yet. But he believed it. And he amended it. And he was going to act upon it, and God knew it. And God reckoned that, calculated that, counted that to him, to Abram, the faith as righteousness. Now, Abram would fail again and again and again. He would doubt again and again and again, just as we do. But it was that moment and that faith and that willingness to put his life on the line in accordance with the promises of God that made all the difference in his existence, that made all the difference in his life, that made all the difference in the lives of the Hebrew people for generations to come, including the Hebrew people like Jesus and the disciples to whom we look, like Jesus who died for us, and the disciples who tell us in the scriptures about Jesus. For they all descended from him. And in Jesus Christ, all the peoples of the earth have been, are being, and will be blessed. So God's promise has been fulfilled. We have promises too. And when things seem to be going tough, when things seem to be going awry, when things are going hard, when the going gets tough, when you don't know how you're going to make it, when you wonder where your next meal is coming from, when you don't know how you're going to see it through tomorrow, much less today, it is then that we should turn and take up our shield and accept and live by faith, depending upon the grace of God, trusting in his word, trusting in his love, trusting in his blood, trusting in his sacrifice, trusting in the sacrament, trusting in the holy written word of God. We need to be turning and trusting and faithing, living in accordance with his will. My brothers and sisters, we have so many promises. They're all in Christ Jesus to us. They've come to us through Jesus. We have even this promise here today that I am your shield. Do not be afraid. So no matter what faces you, take that single promise and hang your life on it and face whatever demon you're facing and trust in God And God will see you through. Well, what if I die? Well, my word, you're then in glory everlasting with Jesus and all the apostles and the saints forevermore. Wow! No matter what you face, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how scary it gets, know that you have a shield in Jesus Christ our Lord. Do not be afraid. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Let me dwell in your presence, Lord. Let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.